Excited also to give the word this morning. We are starting our series. It's called the Miracle Series. We are continuing on from our fasting last week. If you fasted with us last week, can I just see your hands? God bless you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for fasting with us. God has done so many miracles with us in this church. But before I get started, let's just pray. So Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all of our wonderful community members, our college students. Lord, I thank you that we are a church with a mission. We are called to reach this city and reach these campuses for you. Father, I pray that today you would bring our hearts closer together, Lord, from no matter what age, no matter what gender, no matter what ethnicity, Father, you would bring us together as we learn about you and we accept your mission to this city and these campuses. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of my sermon is called Provision. It's in the Miracles series, but it's about provision, the provision of God. And the first scripture I want to read to you this morning is from Acts 4. It's 32 through 37. Now, if you did the fasting guide last week, you probably read this scripture, but it's Acts 4, 32 through 37. So let's begin. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their own possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. No needy persons among them. Praise God. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. My first point for you today is that provision is more than money. Provision is more than money.
Yeah.
And I think if you've heard a sermon about this before, it's probably about provision, it's about money, it's about finances, it's about getting that new iPhone you want, it's about getting that new car, it's about God miraculously giving you money. But I want to tell you today that we got to talk about this, is provision is way more than money. There's so many things that are and God provides for us. And so provision, the definition, it's resources for the journey ahead.
Good.
Resources for the journey ahead. So I get our next slide, please. And the next one, please. There we go. Okay. Did anyone ever grow up playing the game Oregon Trail? Anyone besides me? Okay. Yeah, Oregon Trail. Thank you, Paul. All right. So, David, thank you. Gladine, thank you. Okay, so Oregon Trail, the whole point of the game was you would go into town and you would buy all the provisions, everything, all the resources you need to set off on the Oregon Trail with some oxen and a cart, and you had to try to make it through all the sickness and dysentery and fighting off, you know, different people, and you know, you had to hunt, and you wanted to make it to your destination. And so God's provision, or provision, we need to look at it, is it's everything we need for this journey called life, right? So provision is way more than just money. Provision is way more than just money. Here's a list of, not a complete list, but here's a list of some of the things that I would put under provision. So first, it can be wealth and finances. That's one. It can be security and safety. Emotional and mental health. Physical health. Peace of mind. Salvation. Spiritual deliverance. Direction and guidance. These are all things that we need on our journey of life. These are all things that need to be provided to us,
yep.
Right? And so when today, as we're talking about this, I want you to keep this in mind, that provision is not just money. Provision is a lot of things that we need. Here's a quote from Charles H. Spurgeon. He's called the Prince of Preachers. He was an amazing man of God. And this is what he said. He said, "I've seen the Christian man in the depths of poverty, when he lived from hand to mouth and scarcely knew where he could find the next meal. Still, with his mind unruffled, calm and quiet, he had been as rich as a prince. He could not have had less care if he had been told that his bread would always be delivered to his door and that the stream which ran fast by should never run dry. If he had been quite sure that the ravens would bring him bread and meat in the morning and again in the evening, he would not have been one bit more calm. This is what he's saying. I've seen Christians in abject poverty, and they literally have just enough for their next meal and their next glass of water. But you could never tell because they were like as rich as princes, because they were so sure of the God that they served. You see, provision is more than just money. Provision is more than just comfort. Provision is really, I'm getting ahead of myself, but provision is a relationship with God and everything that God provides, both internal and external. Now, Charles Spurgeon was talking about three different stories in the Bible. Okay, let's get the next slide. So there's three stories in the Bible that really stick out to me where God just provides supernaturally, right? And I think as if you go to church or you follow God, you think that God is going to provide for you in these ways. So these are the three stories. There's one where Elijah was hiding out and literally ravens would come in the morning and at night, and in their beaks they would carry food to him every single... What's up, Khalil? Want to preach? He's excited. But they would bring in their beaks food every single day. And this happened for years. Could you imagine being so reliant on God that you trusted him that a raven would bring your food in their beaks? It's kind of gross and kind of weird, okay? The other one up there, also Elijah. That Elijah, he had to go to a widow and he had to get her last bit of food. He had to say, listen, I know that's your last, but I need it, right? That's so selfish. But God used it to bless her, right? And she became his provision. That's crazy. You know, sometimes we think that we're somebody's provision, but maybe they're our provision, and we have to ask something from them. That's another sermon. Okay, then the big picture in the middle there is manna from heaven. I'm a history major, so I love historical art and just the different time frames, but this is a really old medieval painting, but it's God providing manna from heaven. Every single day, the children of Israel would wake up. They wouldn't have to work for anything, but the food would be right there. Yep. So there's moments in history where God is literally your provision, mm-hmm. right? Literally, he is your provision, which is our main point, is that God is our provision. He's not just our provider, but he is our provision. Sometimes we want God to be our provider, provide for me what I need, but I don't want you to be part of the provision. Yeah. See, God is not just the provider, he's the provision. Yeah. Okay, I know I just switched gears there for some of y'all, okay? Here we go, keep up. So God is not just our provider. He's not just Santa Claus. He's not just Big Daddy, you know, the man upstairs who gives us stuff. He's not our sugar daddy. Sometimes God says, you don't actually need anything. All you need is me. So we can't talk about the miracle of provision without talking about that God is the provision himself. There's some moments that, you know what, I don't need a new show to watch. I don't need a new meal to eat. I don't need new clothes. I don't need new shoes. All I need is you. All I need is you. Yes, and I want mental health. I want safety. I want protection. I want guidance. I want to know what I'm doing next, but I need you. And so the miracle of provision, the first one is that God is our provision. Yeah. You see, if you have a religion with God where you do the things he wants to get rewards, to get blessings, it's not great. But if you have a relationship with God where he is not just your provider, but he is your provision, that you actually want him, that's what changes your life. That's what calls students and people to say, I'm going to throw away all the sins of this world. I'm going to follow Jesus at 18, 19, 20, and I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to tell my friends about Jesus. Is when you realize that God is not just my provider, but he is the provision. He is the goal. He is the end goal of life. Relationship with God. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound, or you will abound, in every good work. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Psalms 34:10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. See, the Bible clearly says that if God is your focus, if you know God is your provision, he will supply all your needs, you will never grow hungry, and that everything that you could possibly want or need, God is the answer because he is the provision. And I don't have time to get, there's like 1,000 scriptures on this, but God will provide when we seek him. God will provide. Okay, point number three. God provides through people. God provides through people. So, I don't know the last time a raven has brought you food, or last time manna was outside your door, or a widow gave you some bread and then she got unlimited bread. But most of the time, God provides to you through people. God provides through people. And there's a great slide I found here. Let's put the next one up. And I remember, this is a crazy slide. I remember seeing this in an encyclopedia when I was like 10 years old. But this is the stages of life from a baby to a young girl to a teenager, getting married and a mother, middle-aged, all the way down to, you know, an elderly person. But if you spend any time with children or babies, you realize that just because they're alive does not mean they have everything they need. Like we have a three-month-old, and if you leave him alone, he will die, right? Very quickly. And so you realize that I am God's provision for my family.
That's right.
Ashley is God's provision for KJ because she literally feeds him and nurtures him. Right? And so we, a lot of times, we get provided for by other people, and we become God's provision for others.
Yep.
You see, this is why I read the story in Acts 4 about the church taking care of everybody's needs. Because the miracle was not ravens came, but now we are God's ravens, and we can provide for others so that no need should be in the church. And we're going to break this down even more because this is not a socialist message. It's not a communist message. This is a community church message. But we can be God's provision. We can be God's provision. 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Saying, if you do not provide for the people God has called you to provide for, you are worse than a heathen. Mm-hmm. You're worse than a heretic. And you know what's funny? I think a lot of times the provision that God gives us is hard work. Did you know that God is, for us, our students here, every student, God has already provided for you to pass your class with your hard work.
Uh-huh.
There you go. You know that God has provided for all of our community members. God has already provided promotion, great families, financial independence. It's your hard work and your discipline. Thank you, Lord, for providing. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes God's provision is us working harder. Sometimes our provision is us taking a risk. Sometimes God's provision for us is not a raven coming. It's me saying, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do when it doesn't feel good, when it doesn't feel right. And I'm not only going to provide for myself, I'm going to provide for the people that God has put in my life to provide for.
Uh-huh.
That's the miracle of provision. The miracle of provision is that selfish people like you and me would think about somebody else and provide for somebody else.
Good.
In the early church in Acts 4, they were taxed, and it was a terrible time to be a Christian. It was very inconvenient. Do you understand that the church was very unlike our church? Our church is awesome, but you can come, you can go. In the early church, there was one church, and if you decided to follow Jesus, you gave up all your rights as a Jewish Hebrew person, and so your family would kick you out. The Romans in the town, they would come, they would take all your possessions because you were no longer protected by the law, And so when you ask someone to meet your needs, you are saying literally, I'm giving my life to Jesus, I'm willing to die, and I don't have any clothes except I got the rags I have on, and I don't know where I'm going to eat because no one will hire me because I'm an outcast of society, but I will still follow Jesus. That's when the church provided. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I'd like a second refrigerator, and someone in the church gave me one. Wow, every need is being met, praise God. So it's a little different, okay? It's not about handouts. It's not about social programs. It's that the church was so tight because they were the only economy they could rely on, and the miracle was they would provide for one another. Maybe this church isn't providing for you because you're not really a part of the church yet. Maybe you're on the outskirts of the church. Maybe you come. Maybe you've been through membership. Maybe you tithe a little bit, but you're not really a part of what God's doing, and you don't feel provided for because your provision is in the inner circle with what we're doing, and you're on the outskirts.
Yeah.
And then you get butt hurt.
Wow.
It's College Sunday, I can say it. It's College Sunday, I wouldn't say any other Sunday. But your rear end gets hurt because you don't feel God's provision. And God says, I've built it in for you, but you aren't going to the places. You're not giving up what you're supposed to get my provision. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So God says, you have to give up. Are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to be called by my name and be a holy, set apart, chosen people? Because that's where my provision is. And that's where my presence is. And that's where I am. Come on. So listen, this is not about, you know what, no personal property, let's just sell everything we have, no one has sort. No, right? It said they sold houses and land when they needed to.
Right.
Only when they needed to, not just because, right? We need business owners, we need landowners, we need people in our church to be entrepreneurs and be mighty and be wealthy and have the power to reach people for Jesus, right? Yesterday, we had an event at FAMU, it was called our season opener, and we had 80 students come out, and it was our first outreach of the semester. And it was cold, but it was a lot of fun. But it takes money to do that. It takes planning. We had to get pizza. We had to get kickballs and footballs and frisbees and soccer balls. We had to do all that. It takes money to do that because we're trying to reach people. So God is not against personal wealth.
That's right.
At all. Honestly, most of the commandments are about protecting personal wealth. Okay? So this is not a socialist message. What I'm saying is when you are called to the inner circle of what God is doing, the church, the ecclesia, the called out people, that is when God's provision is there and every need will be met. Mm-hmm. This is making sense.
Yes.
Acts 20, 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard, say it one more time. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. By working hard and giving to the weak, we must remember it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hebrews 13:6 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices, that's the key word, sacrifices, sacrificial giving, are pleasing to God. Sometimes the sacrificial giving you're supposed to give is not money. Sometimes it's time. Sometimes it's mentorship. Sometimes it's helping somebody move. Uh-oh. That's how you know who your friends are. When you're trying to move and you send out that call to everyone, the ones who show up, they're your ride or dies. They're for real. Everyone else, okay? But sometimes it's not always money. It's not always handouts. Sometimes, for some people, it's easier to give someone money than actually spend time with them and to mentor them. And in America, we like to throw money at problems.
Yeah.
And money helps sometimes. But sometimes it's mentorship, it's time, it's compassion, it's encouragement, it's care, it's prayer. You know what? I would say before you give someone money, why don't you pray for them? And then give them money. Right? It's, you know, it's amazing that sometimes it's easier, because, you know, Ashley and I, we're on monthly partnership. That's how we work on campus. But sometimes it's easier to ask someone for money than ask them to be a prayer partner. Because I know they would rather be just an automatic payment once a month than actually sit down and pray for me once a week. Uh-huh. Right? And so sometimes God is calling you to provide for somebody. Sometimes it is money, but sometimes it's something else. And so the miracle in the early church of provision was not ravens, was not manna from heaven. It was that one another would say, you know what? I will be the miracle for you. I will be God's provision for you. And you know, that's the whole reason we evangelize and invite people to church and tell people about God, is because we want to be God's provision for you, for others. We want to say, God, use me to provide the gospel to somebody else. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. I don't like talking to people. I have social anxiety. But I still am going to be God's provision for somebody else.
Yes.
Right? It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be hard. That's okay. Number four. As we come to a close, God's provision was and is ultimate. I don't think I could preach a sermon about provision unless I covered God sending his son Jesus to be our ultimate provision. Romans 8:32. He did not spare his own son, Jesus, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, the reason I know God is not just my provider, but is my provision, is not because I read a crusty old document talking about Elijah and Moses and Abraham, but because I have experienced that Jesus died 2,000 years ago for me today. And I know if God would send his only son to die for me, a sinner, I know he's going to provide everything that I need. And not only what I need, but that I can provide for others.
Amen.
And that I can help other people. And I can be God's, I can be an answered prayer for someone else. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to understand in the whole context of this, that the reason we can talk about provision, the reason that we don't have to compare with other people, I don't have to look at their shoes or their house or their business or their whatever, is because Jesus died for me. And that's the great equalizer, right? Who cares? Who cares what you wear before you die? It matters what you wear in heaven by the things that you've done for Jesus on this earth,
yes.
Right? Are you going to be, you know, decked out here on earth but naked in heaven, right? Are you going to say, you know, God, I'm going to look great here, but I'm going to focus more on providing for others and preaching the gospel and being obedient and focusing on you because I want to be robed in majesty in the next life, and I want to give you the glory.
Yes.
Come on.
Good.
Jesus died for our sins. And this is the biggest provision, is that, and this is the gospel, is that every single person who's ever lived and breathed is evil. Right? We may do good things. We learn good behavior. But you don't have to teach babies how to cry and be selfish. We're born. We have a bad nature.
Uh-huh.
We have a bad nature. Right? And no good behavior can change your nature, right? A bear can act like a dog, but it's still a bear. So when you are born a sinner, when you are born into sin, you cannot change your nature by good works. And so God said, I have to provide for my family, my people down on earth, and they've sinned against me, and they've pulled away from me, but I'm still going to provide for them, and I'm going to provide a sacrifice for their sin and then a substitution, give them my righteousness, and I'm going to do it through my son, Jesus. And he is going to go, not as a king, not as a prince, but like as a lowly construction worker. He's going to live the life we should have lived. He's going to die the death we all deserved because of our nature. And he's going to trade places with us on the cross, that if we believe in him, he would change natures with us, that we may become the righteousness of Christ,
yes.
Jesus. And so God, Jesus' sacrifice, his provision was ultimate. It's all that we need. It's the reason we're here. All right? So with that, let's close. Lord, we love you. Father, I pray that this message would hit us deep, would touch us deep, would convict us, encourage us, challenge us. Lord, would make us more like you. Father, if I want to pray for the first group of people. If you're here and you heard this sermon and you're just feeling challenged to trust God more for your provision or to provide for other people, if you're just challenged, I just want to pray for you. Lord, I pray that you would just give us the creativity, the energy, and the passion, Father, to be somebody else's provision, Father, to get our eyes, stop focusing on ourselves, Lord, but to focus on you and the miracle you've done so that we can be a miracle for somebody else, Father. Lord, I pray that you would touch people, that you would, all across this room, that you would just see people's hearts, Lord, and you would help them just understand what you've done so that they can be a provision for someone else. For the second group, if you really don't know Jesus and you've never received what Jesus did for you on the cross, and you've tried to be your own provider, you've tried to do right on your own strength, and you're trying to get to heaven or get to wherever you want to go on your own strength, but your nature has never been changed. And right now, as I'm speaking, your heart may be pounding or burning. You know I'm talking to you. And you say, you know what? I need a provider. I need provision. I need something greater than myself to switch places with me because I can't do it by myself. And I'm willing to repent of trying. And I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. If that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, just under your breath. And say, Jesus, I repent. Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me for being my own provider, my own God, my own provision. I lay that all down and I want to serve you and I want to receive what you did for me on the cross. The sacrifice that you gave me, the substitution that you did with me. And Father, I pray that you would change my heart and make me new. And I receive everything that you have for me, all the blessings and all the provision that you have. In your mighty name I pray. Amen. Everyone's still eyes closed. If that was you, I just want you to just look at me from wherever you're sitting. Just give me a quick look. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I want you to come talk to somebody after the service. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to one of our staff. We'll be up the front. But tell somebody about what God is doing in your heart, and we'd love to connect with you more and get you plugged into our church family. Thank you so much for praying that prayer. All right, you can close your eyes. Lord, thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for all of our students, our community members. Lord, I pray that you would bless them this week. Help them have great weeks at class, at work, with their families, Father. I thank you that we would look to you to be our provider and our provision in a brand new way. In Jesus' name.